following is an unrehearsed interview with Mrs. Frances Thatcher Keyes by John Bowe for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview is conducted at Mrs. Keyes' residence in Alexandria, Kentucky on August 9, 1978, around 3 p.m. Mrs. Keyes, will you tell us about your family as far back as you can remember?
Well, of course, I don't remember. I didn't know them personally, but I do know that my great-grandfather married a girl from... my great-grandfather married a Spillman. He was a Spillman. His mother was a Spillman. And the Spillmans gave the first land to the to Alexandria, which was only an acre at that time, and the courthouse was built there, and the Baptist church was built there in Alexandria at that time, and he of course had a part in that, and the cemetery, and all of that was built on this acre of land. And they may have bought a sum and added to it, and we're still adding to the burial, to the cemetery. And there was little one-story school, and we of course didn't have a high school. We didn't have a high school until I was 20 years old before we had a high school here, but now we have a first class high school, and of which George had been on the board, that's the youngest son, has been on the board. Well, I'm getting ahead of my story because I wasn't married then, mm-hmm. and I'm getting ahead of my story. And my grandfather on the my mother's side was his uncle was Ulysses S. Grant, President of the United States, which not many people liked, however, but that's who it was. And I don't remember. I remember a lot about Alexandria, and I've been here and have seen it grow and all. And now my daughter is on the council, and she's on the her name is Bess, and she, well, I'm getting ahead of my story again. I'm not married yet. I often speak to that. I'm not talking sensible at all. I don't know why, but I guess just the way I feel or something. I don't know. I haven't been interviewed for so long about anything, but we didn't have a whole lot of buildings here. I really remember, by being 89 years old, and I guess I have fairly good memory, but I can't think of the important things. We only had one store, and that store was a grocery and a dry goods store and all. And then we just had the one store in Alexandria, which was adequate for many of us because we had no transportation to the city. There was a road to Newport, but you went by horse and buggy. And I remember the first automobile, and a man with the name, a doctor with his name, and Dr. Shaw had the first automobile in Camel County, Dr. Clayton Shaw. And he afterwards grew, and he had good many offices that doctors have in the county. He was county health officer, and he was all those things. And I'm not a bit interesting about that, telling you that. I don't know. You'll be striking out all. You won't have much left.
Tell us more about your family back then, your grandparents and great-grandparents.
Yes. Well, none of them. Those days, there wasn't anything for women to do. So none of them had positions. They would just marry and have families. And the only thing I remember when we were born, my two older sisters before I my three, the one died at 10 years old, and my other two wanted to work, and my father wouldn't let us work. It was, he said that it just wasn't gentlemanly like to let women get there. Wasn't anything that we could do at those days but scrub floors. And so he wouldn't let us work. But then we were sent away to school, and my sister went to, older sister, went to Lebanon, Ohio, and we just went to Cincinnati. And then before we had our high school, why, we were just finishing the grade school, but we were allowed to just keep on going. And I went to grade school until we had our high school, with the exception of 2 years I went to Cold Springs to school, just because they had more to offer, but they didn't have a high school. We had the first high school here in Camel County. And it was built on my grandfather's ground, although it had changed hands once. And he had sold it to our neighbor. But Alexandria was long in growing. It was just had begun to be, it was always considered a city, and was always a center of Camel County. But, and the courthouse has always been there. The court's still held there. We still have court there. My father was, as was necessary, of course, there wasn't so many citizens here, helped to build the first bank and was one of the directors. And then, of course, he helped build his churches. My, I was a Methodist and he was a Methodist. They, he and Mr. Wright, Joe Wright, was one of the citizens. They were very successful, and they were responsible for the Methodist Church being built, the first Methodist Church. And, let's see what else. I'm telling about families more than I am. The next things were built, we didn't have a high school. We had a high school in the public school for a while. And then this is the first high school we have had. Mm-hmm. And I graduated from there, but not until 1912. Mm-hmm. And I was one of four in the first class.
Where was it located?
In the old brewery. We had a brewery. And it was called the Meister Place, I believe it was called. We called it the old brewery. It was built for a brewery. It was in Alexandria. Mm-hmm. And back in the first hill where our high school, our first school was built. And then...
Where was the grade school located at?
Up on the hill from there. And we just had the eighth grade, and then we had the high school down there, and there was just four in the first class. And I don't know, I just haven't had any unusual young life to remember. And Alexandria hasn't, it's grown. I don't remember what the population was then, but it still is one of the leading cities in Calhoun County.
Tell us more about your father.
Well, he was very successful, and he, as a farmer, and but we didn't have, we had to advertise for help because you couldn't, he had all girls and no help, and we had to keep our own help. He had 640 acres, and no, my grandfather had 640 acres. But as I say, it was he had sold some of that. But my father had, I guess he wound up, my father wound up with over 100 acres now. And they, I don't know what to tell you that. But he, of course, like any other successful person, was the head of nearly everything. We had the fair. And our county fair, and is still existing, and I hope ever always will. We call it the Little World's Fair, but he had farmed, but his main thing was horses. He had cattle and horses, mostly horses. He had some trotting horses, and he had saddle horses and all those things, and was the head of nearly everything that was ever advanced in Campbell County, because he was one of the older persons. And I really don't know what to tell you, Billy.
Can you tell us more about your father's career? What he was involved with?
He helped to build the bank and was president of the bank, and he helped with the schools. He helped us do advance Alexandria as much as there could, but Alexandria hasn't had too many. We had one hotel on the corner, and
what was it called?
It was just called the Alexandria Hotel at that time. And that was the only place that people had to stay. People in Alexandria had to keep their friends overnight, and the others would have to drive all the way to Newport. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any place for them to stay. And then we afterwards had another one that was not, it was a saloon directly across from the first one that they kept people overnight. And then we had another one right across the Alexandria, or from the courthouse, that kept people. And that was the Alexandria Hotel. And then we had one that had a summer, set chicken dinners, and that's about all we've had in Alexandria. We haven't had much. We've always carried on business, but not many business places. Mm-hmm. And then my husband was a butcher, mm-hmm. and he had one of the first butcher shops there. Mm-hmm. And he and his father. So I'm just not very, I don't expect you to put any of this in your book. You can do as you like, but then I can't think of many interesting things in Alexandria. Of course, nearly everybody that graduated, there wasn't anything to do. We didn't have a high school, and when they graduated from public school, they went to be teachers. Mm-hmm. And nearly, that's about the only profession for men and women. And then, of course, there's farmers for farmers, and that is really, there's never been anything exciting other than the fairground. And that's about, there's a lot of business carried on here, but just the country, you know.
Are you saying that Alexandria was not the center of Campbell County?
Was what?
That it was not the center of
Campbell. What was not?
Alexandria.
What was not there?
Are you saying that Alexandria was not the center of Campbell County?
Oh, yes. It is the center of Campbell County, Alexandria, and the county seat, mm-hmm. and always will remain the county seat.
And a lot must be going on. Must have been going on.
Well, we still have court here, you know.
Yeah.
And we've had, and I hope we always will, and we have a council, mm-hmm. and it's run by the people of Alexandria and not Campbell County. There's everybody that nearly on the council is just from Alexandria. Mm-hmm. And there's the stores and the fairground, mm-hmm. cemetery, and schoolhouse, Campbell County High School, and it has grown from a little one-room schoolhouse to the county school, mm-hmm. and the county high school. Mm-hmm. It is our county high school.
Uh-huh, is it?
And of course, Newport would like to take all of our work, but they don't. They've been able to hold our courthouse and all.
Was your father a prominent citizen in Campbell County?
Was what?
Was your father a prominent citizen in Campbell County?
Yes, he was always a citizen, and I must say a leading citizen in Campbell County. And he helped to build the first bank in Alexandria.
Uh-huh. What was that called?
And where is it? Or
what was it called? Where was it?
Oh, it was called the Bank of Alexandria, and it was right across from the courthouse.
Uh-huh.
And it's... we've always had people in the town who would take a teachers before we had the roads. They would have to board here, you see, year round. Now they had tried to elect citizens of Alexandria, which they do have. We don't have, of course, our principal at our high school is not from here. Mm-hmm. And we have some teachers that are not from here. But really, the biggest part of the teachers are local people.
Mm-hmm. Tell us how your father met your mother.
Oh, well, that I don't know. I can't remember because I suppose by visiting in those days, the Licking River isn't very wide where we would cross. Mm-hmm. And they would go over to a place, a little town called Branch Bend. And I expect that's where my father had met her. They used to have plays and things. We don't have things like that anymore. And we would go miles. And the same way with any activity that the children had, we would go as far as Paris, Kentucky, and Lexington. And of course, most of our children have graduated from Lexington. Rather than go to Newport, they didn't have, Lexington had the high school before Newport. And so then they become friends, and my mother, when she came, when she married my father, it was during slave time. Mm-hmm. And she brought one of the young Negroes with her, and he was the slave. My father built a little house for him, and then he married after he lived with my father. And he married a girl from over in Kenton County too, and they lived in a little, of course my father paid him, we didn't have slaves, but my grandfather had slaves, Grandfather Grant had slaves, he had 23 at one time. Mm-hmm. And he had them, I used to have pictures of it, and a big picture in my living room. But
what was his name?
We had to find, his name was William Green. And then that man lived to have grandchildren, and all the colored man, and he was one of my father's first helpers. And then the rest of the men, well, we had hired men, and we called them hired men. And at that time, a dollar, we paid more, my father paid more for help than anyone around, and he could get these, and it was a dollar a day and your dinner. Can you imagine that? Just imagine that. But then, a dollar then, though, was as much as 25 now, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we just had the one little store that we dealt in groceries.
Where was that at?
Huh?
Where was that at?
In Alexandria. Mm-hmm. And it was at that time it was run by a man by the name of Todd, Mr. Todd and Mr. Bache, Todd and Bache. And they carried dry goods, and they tried to carry it in flour with the barrel we would buy. Salt for the barrel, mm-hmm. killed our own hogs and cattle, and we had the meat shop though, mm-hmm. but most everyone that could afford it killed their own beeves, and we would even dry beef, and it was splendid. And then we had, my father had ice, I don't know what you would call it. It was built like a cistern, and he would cut ice from ponds, buy the ice from there. And we had two ponds purposely to have our own ice to fill that ice box. You couldn't use it in drinking water, but you'd keep things in it. You couldn't use the ice because we skated on it. We raised ducks and geese and everything. But it would do to put in refrigerators, and we had no electric refrigerators. And I remember we had the first refrigerator, and we had the one in We owned a farm in Alexandria, too. We owned acreage in Alexandria. The county, the county agent, and we have a county store was on ours. The Catholic Church had built on our farm. Wow. And on my part of my father's farm. And the county store is built on his. And we had any luxury we had, you had it yourself, if you could afford it. And if you couldn't, you did without.
Tell us more about your father's ice. What did he do with the ice?
Why, he would build like a cistern, as deep as he could, and as big as he could. I think it was square, though. And then he would put a layer of cut ice off of ponds, and we had the ponds, and then he would buy ponds, and then a lot of people gave him ice off ponds. And we'd put that down and then put a layer of sawdust and then another layer of ice. I don't know how many tons there would be. And then he sold ice. And you could get enough for your refrigerator for 15 cents. And he would sell ice, and we did that until we had ice boxes.
Mm-hmm. Did he sell ice year round?
Yes, yes, oh yes. That's the only thing they had, and that would keep. It was down in the ground deep enough, like a cellar, mm-hmm. or a cistern. And then, but it was huge, as big as as big as this house it was. Oh, about square, as big as this kitchen. And then way, way down, we used to laugh and say it was down to China. But we'd have the longest step ladders, and then they'd go down with some kind of wheels that the big ropes would go on, you know, and lower a man, and then they'd lower the ice on another one, then they'd place it, and then a thing of sawdust, and it would be, a bigger square than this. And then we used to not be allowed to go just to see them do it once and then get away because it was dangerous. And then they'd lower that, maybe as many as five or six times the ponds would freeze over. You'd cut the ice, and then you had saws, would saw it in big blocks. About, I don't know, 3x3, I guess, or something. About the half would be from here to there. Big blocks that would fit in, and some people would put it in their basements, and they would put sawdust and keep it through the summer as long as they could. They would have deep cellars, they called them, and we call them basements, deep cellars, and then they would keep that ice as long as they could, keep no air, so no air could get to it, and keep things. And if they were to butcher and it would get warm, so many people butchered their own meat. And my father used to butcher as much as 18 hogs because we had hired men to work that 100 acres. We didn't use the whole 100 for fruit, but he sold his fruit. He had black raspberries, red raspberries, and a yellow raspberry. Now, I haven't seen that since I was a kid. You see the black and the red, but you don't see the yellow. And then we had strawberries and a dewberry, which was like a blackberry, but it laid on the ground, you know, dewberries, like strawberries did. And then the blackberries themselves were in bush, about as high as this, and raspberries. We hauled them to Cincinnati Market. And commission men in Cincinnati who handled them. And the people bought them from the market instead of from stores, and we'd put them up in bushel crates. We'd make our own crates. You buy them in the flat by the timber, and then we would, nailed a million of them myself, I expect, and then we'd haul it with our horses and wagons, and people still, of course, haul berries to Cincinnati, I reckon. I don't know of any around here now. Mm-hmm. But I have lived an exciting life, but then that's about like the ordinary but people lived in, and Alexandria used to be a mile, and now I don't know how much. We're in Alexandria, and we're over a mile from there, but it was just a mile from one end to the other, but not all four sides, I guess, because we haven't been in Alexandria in the city for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we bought this place, we had 5 acres and this house. Now we have 100.
Mm-hmm. This is a new farm, though, the Keyes family, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And my husband bought it, and it was just this house, this original house, we built to it, mm-hmm. and porches and everything on it. Mm-hmm. But we bought 5 acres and with the house, and then as people, our neighbors would die or move or something, we would buy theirs, and we have 100 acres now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just in the center, not in the center either, we're closer to the, and we're surrounded by the three roads, Papa Ridge Road and Alexander Road, and I don't know what that one's called, the road that went back, what is it called? Enswaller, I guess, Enswaller Road.
How'd your father haul fruit to market?
Horse and wagons, and we would send 2 wagons a day. We would send one that was picked in the afternoon, and then we would send that, and then we would be again picking the berries in the morning. We have had as much as 100 pickers, and then we would just give them 5 cents for 4 quarts of berries, and we paid more than anybody else that had any to sell. My father did, because he had so many, and he felt like he had to pay more to get the pickers.
Mm-hmm.
And we would make our own carriers. They were just like a little basket with a handle, and then 4 quarts was in quart baskets, and we'd pay 5 cents to pick those 4 quarts, and they had to be piled up. And we had as many as 100 pickers, and then at the end of the day, well, we'd give them chips.
Mm-hmm.
And little brace looked like nickels. And then we had one that was square for 1 cent, and then one that was a different shape for 2 quarts. And then at night, we would count those and put them down. Each one had their sheet in the ledger. And we would take them, one of we girls would take them in and mark them. At the end of the season, we would pay them. Of course, if they wanted it and needed it, they'd cash them at night. But none of them did, and we had a red raspberry, a black raspberry, and a yellow raspberry, which I never have seen since. Then we had dewberries, and blackberries, and strawberries, and had so many different kinds of strawberries, and we have hauled over 100 one-bushel crates. They used to be in 1 bushel. Now they're, then they fell down to 3 pecks, and then the little basket, quart basket, and as many as would hold 3 pecks, and then a half. Now I don't know what they put them in. Then at the end of the season, he would treat them, what he called treating, and we would have 2 or 3 big platform wagons and haul all of the. If there's 100, we'd take 100, if there's 50, whatever there was, and take them to Coney Island, and we would haul to people in Cincinnati who had commission houses, and they would help my father. I would say then $100 would be about $1,000 now, and they would, Papa and or my father and the commission man would treat these families who would pick berries for us the full day. And we would make arrangements with the Coney Island or the zoo. We took them one of the 2 places each year. And then we would have that whole place. They could ride all day. They wouldn't have to get tickets or anything. They'd have 1 ticket. And then at the end of the day, my father and the commission men would pay for whatever they used. And that was their thanks for helping us. Mm-hmm. And their mothers usually would come with them, and always their fathers. Mm-hmm. And we had one man that had, by the name of Swalbach, that had 11 children at one time that helped him pit. He and those 11 children, his wife didn't come. She would stay at home and cook, I reckon, for the rest of them. But the men would come and bring their children, and they, that's where we had our fruit pit. Mm-hmm. We had all kind of berries, and we had all kind of trees. We had plums, pears, peaches, apples, and all kind of fruit. And we hauled, I guess we'd begin maybe in May. The early berries used to come in May. We had so many varieties, 3 or 4 different varieties. And they lasted, maybe 6 weeks, strawberries would. Because then we'd get through with the early Michaels, and we'd have another brand, and another, we had 3 brands. And then we did the same with the raspberries and the dewberries, the blackberries. And then the apples, that's all we did was that. It was fruit, we had a fruit farm.
How did the berries, how did the fruit make it to the market without being...
frozen?
No, squashed or...
to the market?
Yeah, with the, in the bumpy wagon. Pork, the bumpy pork. Wagon, how did you keep the bumpy wagon?
We'd have, did you ever see a berry crate?
Yeah.
Those, then they held a bushel. Uh-huh. Now they, I think, only hold 24 quarts. Then I think it was 48 quarts. A quart basket, and these, they'd set 8 in a, about like this was about that. And we'd set a quart here, and a quart, and then we'd have a slat that went through there, and then a slat that went over them. And then there would be 4 of those layers. They'd be about that high.
Uh-huh.
And it took a man to lift them and to put them on. Then we'd put them right, we said top them, but we wouldn't top them. Mm-hmm. We would take off enough to make them smooth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because we had men who would go, right, 2 or 3 men would walk through and see that there wasn't any leaves or dirt or anything when they were cashing them in. Then they would give them that one of those little checks when they'd take their back for their box, they called it. We had little square boxes with handles on them, and they'd carry those 4 quarts in that, and then they'd take that one and give them one empty one, you know. Mm-hmm. Then they'd fill that, and then they'd go back and get that. And those, that's the way many raised their families, but just on what their children helped them to make from the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were that one man that had all those children, the Swalbach that I told you, he was a cobbler in the winter, shoe cobbler.
Mm-hmm.
And then we never thought of going to town to buy shoes. We would buy, we did, because we were lucky enough that we had the money to do it and the transportation. We had so many horses. My father had horses to sell to, and he would rent pastures to people and bought horses and sold them. Mm-hmm. But you would go to Alexandria for everything that you wanted. They carried everything, meat, and we had one butcher shop.
Did you say that this man's children worked in the fruit picking? Did the fruit picking too?
No, we did the checking. They did the picking.
Mm-hmm.
And
you say the children
the
picked
children
fruit?
Picked old little. They would be this one. Are they listening to me now?
Yeah.
Well, this one man. Would we should have written out when I wanted to ask you a question like that. They were all different names, of course, and the girls and boys, and he'd say, Joe, Amelia, Avis, and all call all their names and said, pick them clean and not so green and don't step on the wines. He meant the vines. And he was the most comical of the whole bunch. They all had good time.
Mm-hmm.
And then those who couldn't bring their dinner, my mother would fix their lunch, and we would take. We would go to the barn to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was a nice day, we'd eat under the trees,
mm-hmm.
and just like a picnic.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had as many as 100 pickers.
Did that include children?
Oh, children, that
yeah.
was most children.
Mostly children.
The man would come, sometimes a woman. We had one woman that was a widow and she had three children. Then we would have widows sometime, women sometime, whose husband would work elsewhere. And she would bring the children, she'd pick with them.
Mm-hmm.
But you depended mostly on children.
I see, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
The fruit picking was something that children could do while the fathers did heavier work somewhere
yes,
else.
Yes, yes, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But always the father or the mother came if the children were, maybe up to 10 years old. My father would let them come and then somebody else would advise them. But if not, they'd be like any other children. They would pick the big ones and leave the little ones, and we didn't do that.
Yeah.
We picked them clean.
Yeah.
That's why that Mr. Swalbach would say, pick them clean and not so green, don't step up on the wines.
Yeah.
His son was the first one that had the infirmary down here at Cold Springs.
Oh yeah.
He was a manager there,
mm-hmm.
and he had good training. Just working,
yeah.
because his father was very thrifty
mm-hmm.
and a hard worker. But those days, the children worked right along with their parents,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I think that that was good training, and they learned to be good men and women and not lazy. They knew to work, and they could make a nickel in those days. Of course, it'd go farther than a dollar now. And then maybe he would give each of them a nickel a day or something, the father would. And that was their spending money. For when we would have picnics, then we depended an awful lot on picnics. And the Catholic churches all around had a picnic every year for the public. The Lutherans had a picnic at that time. And of course, the Methodists and the Baptists didn't have enough in them, I guess, enough finance to have picnics, and we would just go on basket picnics.
Mm-hmm.
But we all patronized the picnics, and we would go on. They'd have stands and things, and nickel was a lot to give for anything then. We've gotten a lot of lemonade for a penny and two pennies a glass. And then later years, it was a nickel a glass, and things like that. And of course, beer flowed plentifully, and it was always a nickel. But not many of us partook of the beer.
Yeah.
That was for the men.
Yeah.
The women didn't even drink then. Wasn't that a nice time? To see a woman drink, I believe she had been put out of the church.
Oh, yeah.
Never thought of it.
Any church? Anyone?
Any church, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Mrs. Keyes, what do you remember about your father's farm, the location and so forth?
Well, it began growing. My father lived with his father, bought his father's farm
mm-hmm.
after his mother died, and he had two sisters, and they were their husbands were could make good livings, but they didn't have any means. So my father was the youngest, and he bought the farm, and then his father lived with him, and then he added two until he has over 600 acres. And it has recently been sold for $1 million, which was too much. I was not enough. My son said that it wasn't nearly enough. He thought it was worth way more than that. But anyway, he was a fruit farmer, and he raised fruit of every kind, all kind of berries, and all kind of tree fruit, cherries, apples, pears, plums, every kind that would raise in his community.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had horses.
Mm-hmm.
And he had most of that farm in pasture. And it is not where Alexandria was built. And it is, at that time, when Alexandria was built, he was his mother was a Spillman, and the Spillmans gave Alexandria, I told you about that, the Spillmans gave them a acre of ground where it was built. But he had a horse farm and a fruit farm of those 640 acres, and sold his produce in Cincinnati, and sold his, he had riding horses and he had work horses, and then he imported horses from England, and they, I can't think of what they were called, what they were heavy horse, mm-hmm. and they were plow horses, and he would sell them. He would go himself and form companies and maybe sell them to 15 or 20 men, and they each would own a share of the stud horses, and they would maybe pay, the horses would bring about $3,000 or more, and maybe there'd be as many as 15 men by, maybe 10, and maybe he had one of his own, and he would go to England and buy the horses and ship them over here along with his work at home. But he kept not slaves, but kept colored men. We built little houses out in the back of our house for them to live in. And we had, one of them had been a slave to my mother when he married her. Mm-hmm. And then from then we had the, we had other Negroes, people that worked for us in on the farm with the horses. But we then also, he had berry fruit and berries of all kinds, yeah. Raspberries and strawberries.
Do you remember any prominent people around Alexandria that your father knew?
Was there farmers?
No, did you know, you remember any of the prominent people around Alexandria?
Oh, yes, yes, I knew all of them, because there weren't that many. Mm-hmm. And I knew Mr. Wright, Joe Wright, and Sam Wright, the Wrights, and...
What did they do?
They lived in, they had stores. They had, we would call them stores, but they were just groceries, and they did handle yard goods and things like that. And I think I told you about the, they would buy sugar and salt and all those kind of things by the barrel, and we would buy them through them, and we used them by the barrel, mm-hmm. because we had a lot of help, and we had two colored women that helped my mother cook for the hands, and then we did not cook for the berry pickers, and we raised berries, but besides mm-hmm. that, yeah. I think you have that down about yeah. berries. Mm-hmm. And
any other prominent citizens?
Huh?
Any other prominent citizens around Alexandria?
Yes, the Wrights and the Todds. They had the Todds had a store, and the Wrights and Todds had this one store together. They carried and the Todds were very prominent, and they had a son who was a doctor, and he practiced here, and. Let's see. There was Neils, people by the name of Neils, and Spillmans. My grandmother was a Spillman, and Whites. And the main thing that people did around here, the women all were school teachers, and the men were all farmers, uh-huh. and we didn't have much social activity. And they had church and schools, and that's about all. There wasn't too much activity. We depended on Cincinnati or Newport or somewhere like that. I don't really have too much to tell you about Alexandria. It is just a little country town, but it's still a county seat. Mm-hmm. And of course, we, the men, have had to fight to keep it because Newport wanted to take everything to Newport.
Do you remember the Highway 27 being built through here?
Oh, the highway was owned by about five different men, and my father was one of them. And we had toll gates, three toll gates, and you would pay toll to, we didn't pay toll, the men who owned it had passes, of course, but you would pay toll at three different toll gates, one at Alexandria, one at Cold Springs, and one in Newport, just as you go into Newport. And I think at that time, the full amount would have been about 75 cents. You'd pay a quarter, I think, at each one of them. And you paid the same if you had one horse or two horses or whatever it was, same toll. and he was one of them. And then Mr. E.O. Robinson lived, he was a wealthy man. We would call him a millionaire now, I guess. And he had, in the mountains somewhere, he had trees that he sold lumber. He was in the lumber business, but his home was between here and Cold Springs. And he and then Mr. Williams lived in Fort Thomas, and my father, and I can't think of the other two men were Newport. Five people owned it, and they, of course, would get the dividend from, they got all the toll that people paid and all, and they had three people, the three toll gates, and they had those people to pay that took the toll gate, and they sold it, oh, I expect 20 years ago, not before. Oh yes, I guess longer than that, maybe 30 years ago, I guess. And the my children were still, I think we, the oldest one, we still played toll, I think, when he was, and they sold it to the county. Mm-hmm. And
the
state, some of it to the state. Mm-hmm. It's a state highway now, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
There's so many things that I don't think of all those kind of things being interesting to anyone.
Yeah,
but I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. Do you remember how your father acquired the road?
Hard labor and farming. He raised all kind of fruit.
Yeah, but I mean, how did he get control of the road, or how did he acquire an interest in the road?
I'm trying to think who they bought it from. I don't think anybody. I think they built the road, and it was the first of it was mud road,
mm-hmm.
and then they kept putting on rocks and things, you know, made to, it was narrow and all, but they put those toll gates in, and I think they just maybe just went through people's farms, and maybe they gave them the right of way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe in the very beginning, I wouldn't remember, but I think maybe that they just had passage. Now, like he would give them passage through his place, and they'd have surveyors to survey, you know, the road. And then they would be piles of stone that they would bring from their farms. As they plow, they would get, I can see it looked like a big mountain. With the stone that we would have, because stone was all through this, it still is, if you go deep enough. We have it under our road. But they would take it and pile it. We had Cold Springs and Southgate, I guess, and Newport, where they'd have piles of stone, then they'd pay people to break the stone. I don't remember, just whoever they could get. And maybe there'd be a dozen of men around there, and they'd work all day at that stone pile. And then they would put that on the roads, and horses and wagons and all, kept on until they had the road almost as it is now. And then when the state took over, of course, they had a nicer road.
Paved it.
Uh-huh. But they paid people for their the right-of-way.
Mm-hmm. The state paid people for the right-of-way?
Yes, it'd buy it from the farmers, mm-hmm. to widen the road.
Yeah.
And people, whoever lived along that went on the road, used the road.
Do you remember, did your father pay people to upkeep the road, to break up the rock and everything? Do you remember?
He was one of those five that owned it.
Did he pay people to do that?
They did, the company did. They formed a little company.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, they paid people. But he would get most of the people for them because they all were city men. He was the only countryman that owned any part of it.
Uh-huh.
And he would get the help, and then they would have build a home or rent a home. We had one down here in Alexandria, it's called now, right across from the tavern down there that is still there. And they would have people who lived there that worked on for them on the road. And of course, he always had the horses.
Mm-hmm. And did you say the old toll gate house is still there?
No.
Just a place where the workers stayed?
Yes, 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 yes. No, there isn't any toll gate. We had the three. Then they'd have a long pole that went over and was pulled down by a rope, and it would be like it was here. It would be way down in the ground where nothing could pull it out, you know, and then built up around it. And then they'd, the pole would be in there, and then there'd be a long rope, a heavy rope, and the woman would stand. Usually there were women that the men didn't, they weren't paid that much that they could afford to. And they would pull that long pole down on the opposite side, you know, if so people couldn't go through till they collected the toll.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they would charge them. Mm-hmm. They haven't been freed so many years. They, I was, we still had toll gates when I was married, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then the cities finally, the state bought them.
Mm-hmm. But you don't remember your father's company paying the farmers for the original road at all? You don't remember that at all, huh?
Yes, yes. That had been, I was married. I was, over the original road. No, they didn't pay for the original road. People was glad to give it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they went to widen it,
yeah.
when the state took it over,
I
and they'd go to widen it, they would pay the, mm-hmm. the farmers
I see.
For the road.
I see.
And it used to be, you see, it first was a mud road.
Yeah.
And then you had horse and buggies. And then when they began to work on it, when they had machines, and my husband, our Dr. Shaw had the first machine in Alexandria.
Yeah, first car.
Uh-huh. And the first car, and then my husband had a butcher shop then, and he had the second.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both kind of, Dr. Shaw's was a little different, but it was kind of like a little truck
mm-hmm.
and had a roof over it. And then my husband's was a little bit bigger. It hasn't been so many years because we haven't been married that long. Oh, I don't have a picture right here either.
Mrs. Thatcher, tell us about your father, what he looked like and
so forth.
Well, he was
very good looking, and he wore a mustache. And when we were children, he used to have his mustache sometimes shaved off. Those are the times that we didn't feel like we had to obey everything he would tell us, because he looked at us smiling all the time. But he was nice looking, and he was one of the active citizens that helped to build Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
And he was president of the bank as long as he lived, and he helped to organize the bank, and he, on everything that was of interest and all, he was, didn't try to be at the head of it, but it seemed like he had the knowledge and the time, and he was mm-hmm. at the head of a lot of things, and so was Mr. Wright, Joe Wright.
Mm-hmm.
And
so your father was an extremely friendly person. And so.
And he had horses. He had riding horses, and he also had, and he imported his working horses from mm-hmm. England.
Mm-hmm. Was your father a really talkative person?
Was what?
Was your father a very talkative
very,
person?
Very, very. And everyone loved him. He had a lot of friends, and he had a lot of Cincinnati friends because he was a fruit farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And he raised all kind of fruit and vegetables, too. Mm-hmm. And we had a man who had our garden. He's an old man from Germany. And he's the one who raised our garden.
Mm-hmm. Was that Schwalbach?
No,
that was
I don't remember, can't remember his name. It was a German name, and he and his wife came from Germany, and my father had found him through the fruit people
mm-hmm.
in Cincinnati. So then until then we only raised fruit. Mm-hmm. Then we started to raise vegetables.
I see.
For marketing.
Do you have any idea when your father was born? Do you remember when your father was born and when he died?
He was 78 when he died, and he died in, I guess Papa lived until We were married a long while. I had the 5 children, and Bess was born in 27. So I think he died maybe 30.
30.
Uh-huh.
And he was 70 years old.
Yes, yes. And he was maybe 73 or 4 years old. And he didn't have any sickness. He just, the day before he died was election, a special election. He was a red hot Democrat. And he at one time had ran for sheriff, but was beaten. And I remember my mother said that was the happiest days of her life because she didn't want him in politics the day that he was beaten.
Yeah.
And he was very active in politics. And he, the day before he died, he always rode a pony. And he rode his saddle pony to Alexandria. And we were up to his home that night, my husband and the children and I. And talked to him till about 11 o'clock about the election. And the next day, the sister called and told us that he wasn't well and he wanted us all to come. So we all went and he just went to sleep, talked to all of us and just went to sleep. He said, I'm going to be with you long, and just slept away. Mm-hmm. But he was in his early 80s, mm-hmm. I think maybe 83 or something like that.
You say you think he might have been in his 80s, not his 70s.
Yes, uh-huh, yes. Mm-hmm. And I came to, I should remember the date, but I don't. Mm-hmm. When you're away, you, all the time as I am, you just, and not talking to anybody that's interested, mm-hmm. you don't rehearse those things, and you sort of forget them.
Thank you, Mrs. Keyes, for this interview.
I'm glad to have told you, and sorry I wasn't of more benefit to you.
No, you were great, very, very informative. Thank you.